thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. Join us online or in person on Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
From Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee, where we still refuse to concede that the kingdoms of the world have won anything. This is Journey Now.
If you guys don't get that, there's what? No, I'm just kidding.
Welcome back again, everybody. I'm Grant.
I feel like you stay up all night thinking of these things, and it's like Christmas morning when you say it. It's so good.
Totally.
That was literally like 5 seconds. Just flashed in
so
there.
Good.
I'm Grant, and I'm here with many of the fine Journey pastors for this week's roundtable discussion. Why don't you guys go around the room and introduce yourselves?
Tim Timmons.
Susie Lynn.
Mike Urie. Did you go, Mike?
Yeah, he did. Oh. He did. It was.
And I'm Kevin.
It was a little lackluster, but he said his Urie name.
Can you give it to us once more with like conviction and energy, Mike?
My name is Mike Urie.
Nice. Wow. Woo. I think we're done.
Yeah.
That just sends chills down my spine.
Refuse to concede.
Anyway, so we're in a couple of roundtables here where at the end of this last series, we were asking the question, where do we go from here? How do we take this awareness and education that we've developed through our Divided, United Fall series and put it into practice in our lives? And Mike talked about on our last roundtable, the idea of blessing what we can, resisting where we must, renewing where we're able, and providing a thriving counterculture for people left behind by those currently in power. Oof. Yeah, I know. I got them all.
Strong.
No
strong,
notes.
Very strong.
Yeah.
No notes. No filter.
As I'm reading it off my iPad.
Right.
So today, we're just going to wade into this resist where we must thing. We got a question during the gatherings. Someone said, I haven't had as much of an issue with someone who identifies Republican, but I do have issue with someone who supports the hate and racism of Trump. I've been so saddened and annoyed by Christians who support Trump that have not called out his actions. Shouldn't Christians call evil when they see it? I want to give you guys the chance to talk about this before I ask the question, though, because there are many different people at Journey Church. I would offer that you could take that same sentence, and clearly Trump is way out on the end of the incendiary scale, but you could put the name Ted Cruz, Sean Hannity, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Eric Swalwell. Just figure out who it is that you associate with true evil and hate. And how do you not call that out as a Christian? Mike, go. Kevin's pointing at you.
Well, as part of the 4 points you mentioned earlier, there is a difference in the way the world, the word world is used in the New Testament. The word world can be used three different ways. Can mean the created earth, can mean the inhabited earth, just the people, for God so loved the world in that sense. Or it can mean the organized system of flesh and demonic power that stands opposed to God and his kingdom. And so you'll read like James saying, don't be friends with the world and anything in it, or anything in it. And so there's this ongoing process of discernment as we receive ideas, culture, art, about what it is that we can embrace and what it is that we must resist. As individual Christians in a democracy, we have every right, of course, to see and argue and hold positions that we agree with and disagree with other positions that people hold and call those evil. But if we're speaking as a church, the church's job isn't primarily to be oriented to the world in a way where it's just sitting in judgment over the world. The vision of Jesus for his church is to love and serve the world. Paul will even say, my job isn't to judge the world. My job is to judge the church. And so there's a fine line between calling out evil, because even Jesus, when he talks about calling out evil in other Christians, he makes sure that we first deal with the planks in our own eyes before we even mention the speck of sawdust in anyone else's. So it's very easy to demonize opponents, but we're just not given that. We're not given that permission in the kingdom. And if we're going to approach somebody about their support of something that we stand against, then the work that we have to do even before that conversation is significant.
So before we move on, can I just ask you a question, Mike?
When
you talk to your kids, do you talk in well-formed paragraphs like that? Because it's really amazing to behold.
Well, yes. I write them out.
With like citations and footnotes and the whole thing.
Topic sentences. Yeah.
All tied up in a pretty bow. Awesome. It's amazing.
It is. Oh, well, thank you. No, I do not. I do not speak that way.
And that's a hard question because it's an easy question in some ways, but you could say the same about, anybody on this side, on the Republican side, but you can say the same thing about Biden or anybody on any side.
Right.
Yeah. And that was the whole point of this entire series was saying we actually have to rise above some of that.
Correct.
Stuff.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
If I can jump back in, if calling it out just means virtue signaling the other direction on social media, then that's not calling it out biblically.
Yeah.
The prophetic task of the church is to embody a counterculture to evil.
Say that sentence again.
Yep.
Oh, come on. I said it once. It's in the flow. I don't rewind.
You said embody.
That's why they have that back 15 seconds on the podcast, right?
I
want to
learn. Yeah, go.
Well, no, I mean, but that's part of what it means to resist. Resist evil doesn't just simply mean I insult Trump voters and Trump's racism on social media. That's not resisting evil. Very often that's enabling it because it's just a form of virtue signaling that has little to do with how I actually live. So if you really want to resist evil, it's about how you spend your money and about how you spend your time. And like we talked about last episode, I mean, there is a very real sense you're voting for the kingdom or against it. And so if you're worried about race, then the question naturally begins with you. And Michael Jackson said it best. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make a world a better place, just look at yourself and make a change.
Are you talking about that's the football player, Michael Jackson?
Yes, absolutely. With the one glove.
Yeah, right.
So can you talk a little bit more about when Paul says his role is to judge the church? Because I think that there's a lot of people who would now stand in a place where they feel like they are or they want to judge the church because they feel like the church has not shown up.
Well, and I think there's an inside voice that the church uses with itself. If the critique of the church is coming from within the church, that's a good and healthy thing. So to ask the question, hey, have predominantly white churches stood up and fought against racism in its individual and institutional forms, that's a very valid critique, absolutely. But that's a different conversation than the church as the church critiquing people who are outside of it. Mm-hmm. And so Paul's motif is to expect Christians to act like Christians and non-Christians to act like non-Christians. And so I listen particularly to those brothers and sisters of color within the faith community who are calling out white evangelical churches more than I do somebody who's just sitting from far away saying, well, the church has been this or that. Because the prophetic voice, right, of the church has to be leveled against itself. That's what Paul's saying. That's totally consistent with what Peter says. judgment begins with the household of God. It certainly that was that way in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus came indicting and renewing Israel. And if he were to come today in a physical way like that, he would indict and renew the church in the same way. So there is a place for that prophetic critique, absolutely. But if our posture becomes calling out evil of people who are outside of the church community, well, I'm not sure that's the predominant model of operation that Jesus intended for the church. Jesus didn't notice. Jesus didn't spend his time railing against Caesar.
No.
Right? But what he did is he indirectly indicted Caesar by everything he said and
right.
did. Right.
He was voting for the kingdom of God.
But I think the way I read this person's question, though, is their concern is for, I think, because there are quite a few people who believe that, I mean, they were speaking specifically about Donald Trump, right?
Right.
So there are quite a few people who believe that he actually is part of the church. Like, he's their guy, right? So I'm in agreement with you. I'm not arguing with you, but I'm saying, how do we address that? Because that I hear that being the struggle. Like, what do I do with the person who I sit across the table from who is a believer like I'm a believer, but they think that he's actually part of the church and they're
condoning.
Yeah, they're condoning him.
You have to enter that conversation. Mm-hmm. I won't say it. If there is
through a love door, love door. Just say
only
it. That's
if
right.
There's a love door.
Only through a door that's open mm-hmm. to you. I've found this conversation to be very fruitless unless there is an opportunity mm-hmm. of I might be wrong on this.
Yeah.
I don't know if that open opportunity exists very often. Therein lies one of the great tensions that we have.
Right.
And the other part of it is, and I think this goes back to something, you know, we've said before, is what are some of the things that we can do? You have to pray for those people mm-hmm. and for yourself in engaging in that conversation. It is not our job to convict other people to agree with us. Mm-hmm. It's just not. Even we may be right as rain. We could be, but we also could be wrong.
Right.
And so there is an invitation into a dialogue, not around how do I fix you or get you to be contrite or get you to adopt my ethic. Once we start entering into that place, we mm-hmm. start acting, we start taking away mm-hmm. from God's job.
Yes.
So part of the dilemma is to call out those things in people without relationship, without a loving intent, moves us into stone casters. We're just chucking stones at the other side. And that's not what we're called to. The ethic of the kingdom is so much higher yes, and bigger yeah, than yes. that.
Rising above, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it is to invite them into a higher place and allow the Spirit of God, the work that he's to do in them, to show them, enlighten them, move them to a place where they see mm-hmm. that the ethic of the Republican Party or the Donald Trumps of the world, or the Bidens of the world, or mm-hmm. the Democrat, mm-hmm. their ethic of their community doesn't perfectly align with the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. None of the earthly things align with right. the kingdom of God. And so there is this, you see with new eyes, there's a new lens. Yes.
So I think one of the things that you said that I wanted to ask about too is this whole idea of differentiating the behavior or the thing you're mm-hmm. calling out from the person.
Right.
Right. And I remember reading a thing not long ago about someone who 40 years ago committed every day to pray for whoever the president of the United States was, mm-hmm. starting with Jimmy Carter. Hmm. And to genuinely pray for that person,
yeah.
not just as leader, but as a child of God. Mm-hmm. Right. It's really easy to demonize people.
Yeah.
When you don't stop to listen to who they are and what their pain yeah. and experience might be, right?
Yeah.
So for all of you out there, I wouldn't ever excuse hate or racism in anyone, but when was the last time you sat down and really authentically prayed for any of these people that you like to talk about on Facebook and Instagram?
One of the great struggles I think culturally that we face, it goes beyond politics, but we've become faceless people on a thing called Facebook that allows for us to say things we would never say to somebody person. And what has happened is it's caused the deterioration of actual relationship in such a way that I can now frame you and categorize you,
right,
and place you in a box that I don't have to deal with you, and I can say what I want about you online. I can say what I want and without any repercussion or any sense of relational equity or love for the other person. It dehumanizes us.
Susie, you've talked about periodically fasting from social media and sort of as a way of stepping back from the divisiveness and the categorization of people and being able to relax and plug back into an actual personal relationship. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about those times?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have to detox from Facebook and all the things, Instagram and all that, on a regular basis because it pulls my attention away.
Pinterest, from it always gets you.
It. Yeah. It pulls my attention away from God and from the people around me. And so I find, particularly, I spoke about it a couple weeks ago, where I had to shut it off because I was actually finding myself feeling contempt towards people that I actually love. And I know in real life I love them and I enjoy being with them in person. But what I was how I was experiencing them online was totally different than how I experienced them in real life. And so it was causing me to want to break relationship with people. And so I mean, it was very convicting that I needed to step back because of everything that Kevin was just saying. I'm guilty of it too at times, and I was experiencing it with people. So it's for me, it's been something really necessary because, I mean, social media is kind of a necessary thing with a lot of what we do. And I have kids who are teenagers that are on it. So I feel like I have a responsibility to have a presence online with them.
Right.
But it's very, it can be very, very toxic. So.
And at the same time, while we're working every day to love people, right, we do need to stand up for actions and behaviors that we see as being antithetical to the kingdom of God.
Well, I think what Kevin said earlier too, it goes back to that age-old lesson that your mom teaches you when you're little, that there's a time and a place for everything. And as you get older, you can add relationship. There's a time, a place, and a relationship for everything. So it's not that we don't want to stand against evil, but we want to be for God and the people who bear his image. And so there's a time and a place to speak out about something or someone or to someone. And it's not always in a public forum.
Right.
It can be done in a public forum in a certain way, but there's a time and a place for that and a way to go about that.
Right. That can be such an ego-driven exercise too.
Yeah.
I remember someone, I can't remember who it was, a while back talking about they were silent in a room. And somebody said, how come you haven't said anything? And the person said, well, I'm practicing I'm engaging in the practice of not always having to be right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's just a nice thing to try and remember and practice. So we're out of time for today, unfortunately. I hope that this discussion has been useful. These are difficult questions, and I just have to applaud Susie and Kevin and Tim and Mike for being willing to talk about these things, because I don't know of many other churches that are willing to honestly and with an open mind grapple with all of these issues. So thank you for your open hearts, and thank you for your intelligence in taking this on. And we're going to be talking about more of these questions in the roundtables to come, and as we transition to our Christmas season. So let us know if you like this, if you hate this, if you hate us, but please don't hate us, just hate this. And send it all to me at grant@journeytn.com. It's grant@journeytn.com. Until next time, that's this week's Journey Now Roundtable. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and we'll see you next week.
And before you end, shouldn't we have an email? What if it wasn't Grant? What if it was lovedoor@journeytn?
Yes. Yes.
Or that was Kevin's new email. Yeah, so everybody send it to lovedoor@journeytn.com.
There it is. Hashtag
dumb.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn.